Hey, how you doing? I'm Joey Cleans, your announcer. Hold on a second. Take that, you fuckers. Back the fuck off. Sorry about that. You're listening to a special annual Halloween edition of the Gingers and Ragman Show, where the boys get together, smoke a couple of stogies, drink some fantastic Halloween-related beer, talk about the state of horror movies and heavy metal, and generally crack wise about something. You know how these guys are. Also, the boys take a little time to talk to our special guest, and here he is.
Hi, this is Tim Brown from Stryker, and I give you the right to rock.
Get the fuck out of here, you fuckers. You're not gonna get me so easy. Sorry about that, these fuckers keep coming in here. Anyway, without any further ado, here are two guys who are show metal. They carved the jack-o'-lanterns with switchblades. It's Gingers and Ragman. Happy Halloween, you crazy jamokes.
Motherfucker.
That was fucking intense,
shit,
dude.
Man. God. What? I don't know what that... I don't even know what to say. I'm fucking discombobulated, man.
Yeah, I'm glad we fucking made it out of there. That was close.
Yeah, no shit. Well, I guess we should say what's going on. Welcome to the Gingers and Ragman Show. Here on a Halloween night, it's our yearly tradition to go take care of business.
Yeah, only this night... Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I heard it on the news, but I don't know if you guys heard it. It was kind of last minute.
Yeah.
I think it was actually kind of a slip. I don't think President Trump meant to say, let's do the purge.
Yeah, but I think, a huge fan of the movie.
Yeah, and I think he was just talking about it, and I think just some people in the cabinet fucking ran with it or something. And they fucking started doing the stuff. And, you know, surprisingly, a lot of people were on board with it.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are sick of all the bullshit. But guess, I think, from what I've heard through the grapevine from John... there was a one Colin McCheese in the president's ear. I think the same was a good idea.
I think I've seen him in some of the press photos.
I have.
Way in the back.
Yeah.
You see the little spats on the shoes. I'm like, that motherfucker's there.
What the fuck is he up to?
I don't know. He's always up to some bullshit.
No.
This motherfucker.
I didn't know he knew Trump.
I think he knows everybody in some way.
Apparently he does.
In some bad way, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I'm glad we're alive. Tell you what, it was fun for a minute in the beginning, right?
Oh, fuck.
I mean, I took a whack at old Katy Perry.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got a hold of Justin Bieber.
Nice.
And
had him by his scrawny little leg.
Yeah, I grabbed him, put that motherfucker up on the little pedestal thing, and hung his ass.
Nice.
You know, which calls for a really good song by The Haunted called Tighten the Noose.
All right.
This is for you, Justin. The Biebs.
Just a lot of lights now from the
That seems appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. After that, did you get another one, or what happened there?
Yeah, well, I was chasing for a little bit. I thought I saw that Sia chick. Uh-huh. And I was chasing her for around. I had my bow and arrow out, my compound bow. And I had her in my sights. And all of a sudden, you know, like a fucking cat jumped in front of me or some shit. I mean, it's nuts out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's totally flying everywhere. I actually saw one cat was like wailing on another dog. He was like whapping him on the back of the head. I'm like, I didn't know you guys were in on this too.
Oh, shit.
Everybody's just going nuts with it.
They're going crazy. So, if you guys hadn't guessed, it's a purge. It's an official purge.
They finally
purge.
Went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
Art became reality.
And we're purging pop stars.
I think that seems like the reasonable thing to do.
Exactly.
I mean, we always try to do our part for metal. That right. seems like the best thing we could do.
Exactly.
We have such sights to show you.
The right to rock.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm parched.
I think so.
Mr. G.
This.
Hey, hold on. Let me get it out of the bag here. Oh, it's still cold.
Oh, sweet.
I hope it didn't fucking blow up all
That's the thing. You almost dropped that backpack, and I was like, save the fucking beer, dude.
Shit.
Don't even joke about it.
We got a growler, this bad boy, so.
I know, dude. That would have been a real sad day to lose out on that.
Let me ask you this. When you're opening a beer, and it's been kind of, I've done it in several different types of elements where it's been sitting for a while, an older beer. Or there's been movement, and it's mixed reactions every time. You know, one day you could get a beer that's been stable, that blows up all over your ass, and then you'll get one that you kind of moved around a bit.
Yeah, you gotta watch out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it varies. Sometimes it works out. I'm not sure what leads to that.
Man, I probably should be kind of quiet too. I don't want anybody to know where we're at.
No shit, man. You just killed. Before we drink the beer, that's the worst kind of way to die.
Oh, God, this thing is... Look at this puppet.
Is this looking pretty good?
Fuck, yeah.
That's pretty bear boss.
And actually, there's barely any fucking light where we're at. It's very dark. There's like this old, like, kind of light bulb in the corner type thing going on. I don't think this place is haunted. Well, I hope not. We got enough fucking problems.
That ain't no shit. And this is the from Brash Beer, Brash Brewing, right?
Fuck yeah.
You picked up a growler of the Cortado.
Yeah.
And that is an Imperial Breakfast Stout with coffee.
Well, we may need it tonight.
For sure. But it's a hefty 10.0 ABV, dude.
Oh, my God.
But the rating on, like, Rate Beer, I think, is, like, 99 overall.
Damn.
They don't fuck around, dude.
Yeah, so Brash doesn't fuck around.
That Brash is the shit. So I'm looking forward to it. Did we get a... The label, I mean, I don't know if that's the regular label.
No,
right?
it's just a
growler.
So
just grab a can and fill it. Yeah. But their labels are usually pretty cool. I think I saw one. It's got like a skull on it or something like that.
He's got the Brash skull with a little bit of a militia type hat on and stuff like that.
Like he's a Bobby.
Yeah.
He's a Bobby. And let's see what this guy looks like, man. Oh, wow. That's beautiful. No fucking light through it, of course.
No, not
nice,
at all.
Nice sort of sudsy lacing.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. I'd give that probably a 4 on the
label. Oh, yeah.
And let's get the aroma.
Oh, God,
ooh,
yeah.
That smells nice. That's a 4 right there.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's fucking do this.
Cheers. Get the fucking horns, baby.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
This is amazing. That's like chocolate milk with coffee.
And that's a damn fine beer to have with some very fine stogies, my friend.
Yep. I think it's time to fire one of those bitches up, man.
These little babies out. Cut them up. See what I picked up today. I got some from the Brick House. Some Maduros, a couple of Maduros. I like them to be this kind of a Churchill style. A little, what is it, Robusto, I think is the size.
Yeah.
And got my torch. So at least if we're going to die, we're going to die. We're going to brew some.
Yeah, Little Maiden. Want Little Maiden?
Yeah, what a fuck.
Let's do it.
I think he took to the streets pretty early on.
Yeah, he said he had some scores to settle. That's what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people are all in on this shit. I mean, it started off as a movie idea, but people are taking it seriously. I mean, and we took it as, let's go kill some pop stars. We're sick of them. They're ruining the fucking airwaves. Right. They get all the fucking publicity. So if there's none left, metal will get its due again.
And they're out there just running their fucking mouths about shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of seeing them on, like, in every fucking magazine or commercial where they're just like, here's my opinion about politics. What the fuck do you know about politics?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to do shit for politics. You're rich.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I don't give a fuck what, you know, you can get no fucking stake in the game, dude.
You can pass me the light over there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy. It's right there in front.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll fuck around. That's a damn fine still, yeah, that's it. But anyway, I totally agree. And if I had a map, I would have gone to fucking Baby Trunk's house, to be honest.
I haven't seen that prick anywhere.
I bet the motherfucker has an underground bunker just such an occasion.
You gotta wonder, I mean, to his credit, Eddie is a metalhead.
That's true. And to be fair, he did help in some respects. We don't know how much, but he did help repopularize metal.
He'll tell you.
Now, I'm sure he's got a number in mind.
I'm
betting that number's different.
3 billion served. No, you know what? Yeah. Eddie's like, hey, where are you guys going to be?
There you go. Set a trap. Is that what you're saying?
I just wonder. I mean, as much as we bust balls with him and he gets his feelings hurt, you almost kind of got to wonder what he's thinking, what he's up to.
Maybe he may. You know what? Maybe he has a soft spot for us, so he'll help us out.
You think it's that?
Unless he's launching an ambush for us, the motherfucker.
You think it's sabotaging?
It could be. The interesting thing is, though, I did see, I thought I saw somewhere, it might have been on a TV screen or somewhere, we were running around, because believe it or not, in my scenario, there's still stores where all the TVs are lined up in the window so you can see the news.
Oh, okay.
So and I stopped on the street, and I said, what's going on? And I saw there was, you know, all over the world, people attacking. On the little cans, and you see one dude, like a whole crowd was coming up to McCheese.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and McCheese was standing there, and all of a sudden they stopped when they saw it was him, and he kind of like shook his head, and they just turned around. And
it's like a fucking icon, like, a little bit.
Well, it's kind of like, it's like, this motherfucker's made.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't touch this motherfucker. The connections this guy has, it's unfucking real.
Not even on Perch Night.
Mm-hmm. This dude is totally fucking made. I don't know what this guy ever did.
I don't know.
To be where he is.
Yeah, exactly.
And why the fuck we're working for him. But we should be having more
benefits. How did that work out?
We should be having more benefits, man.
Yeah, no shit.
But, you know, to get back on this, where we were starting, you know, this all started, let's say, what is it, 2007 or 6? I think it's 6.
Was it that?
I think it was. So long. This is our 12th year.
Holy shit.
Of fucking dudes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, 12 years ago,
I mean, I always knew this. You probably did too. Horror movies tend to reflect whatever the cultural sort of zeitgeist is, right?
Yeah.
So, like, back then in, say, what is it, the 50s or so, when they had War of the Worlds, the zeitgeist was all about they feared an invasion. And, of course, the invasion would be from... from outside invading armies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what that was. War of the Worlds is about invaders coming in and coming into our country and fucking with us. And you'll notice every, you know, so often when the zeitgeist changes, that's what it turns to. So now that we're at the point of the purge, that really just kind of speaks to sort of the way everybody's feeling, and that is, I'm fucking fed up. Fuck the rules.
Yeah.
Let's just give me 12 hours to do whatever I fucking need to do to make peace with this fucking world I live in. All bets are off. Kill anybody, break any law we want for the next 12 hours. Just let me do that. That kind of seems like the way things are, right? Because if you watch the news, I mean, people are just fucking nuts.
Yeah, they're going crazy.
The shit they do. You know, they're running around shooting things up, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that the horror movies are also reflecting that cultural thing. Do you think also that heavy metal has done that? That it's also kind of gotten more, have you sensed it getting more violent? Or more kind of anarchic in the lyrics or anything?
I think it comes in phases.
You think so?
Really?
Yeah, because when you're already heavy,
right,
and it's all about and aggression, how do you? You can't ramp it up forever. It's a point at which, you know, your head explodes or something, I guess.
Well, you kind of back in the day. I mean, when metal got popular, there was some heavier stuff out there, but it didn't really get heavy
right.
until you had bands like Slayer.
Sure.
Metallica, Exodus.
Right.
Those kind of bands kind of breaking the scene back in the early 80s.
Right. With the really kind of thrashy.
Yeah. And then you had that section where the more melodic rock hit.
Like that's hair metal and stuff.
Right. And then thrash kind of made a comeback towards the end of the hair metal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then grunge took over. And then everything kind of went underground.
Mm-hmm.
As far as metal, I mean, if you wanted metal, you're going to Europe. You're buying imports and what have you. I mean, there were bands still doing it here, but it was hard to find.
Right.
So you're going to import stores and stuff like that. But I think once the grunge thing started kind of dying out about the mid-90s, and you had bands like In Flames before they turned to what they turned into.
There was a moment when, like, before black metal existed, right? Black metal wasn't really around when we were young.
Right. The only band Venom, Celtic Frost.
So maybe the beginning.
Slayer. I guess if you want to call Slayer black metal, I'm
but like
not really
nobody
black
like
metal.
Behemoth just, or yeah.
No, not like it is today.
Deicide
right.
or all that crazy shit. I mean, there really seems like a lot more fucking heavy now than they ever were, and I think that's just because of, like I said. The sort of society, the politics, everything has kind of moved to get a little more aggressive, I think. People get a little more fucking...
Right.
Just kind of angry and... you get that sort of feeling out in the world now, right?
Yeah.
With politics and stuff. People seem kind of angry and upset about shit. You know, all the protests, every fucking way you go.
Somebody's every protesting fucking
something.
Way you go. Yeah.
Everybody's offended about something. So it seems like everybody's just angry all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
The right to rock.
But I didn't know if you thought maybe that metal was also angrier than usual.
More than usual? Maybe. Maybe I could see that in some regards. You know, just as more, as you were saying earlier, is the country gets more fucked up.
Right.
The more aggressive, pissed off shit you're going to get. But then you have to... I guess you correlate that a little bit with, all right, I mean, are we talking about the devil here? Are you saying the government's the devil? Or, you know, your behemoths are praising Satan and scare the shit out of you?
That's a good point, that's a good point, yeah.
As far as brutality, I mean, if you think about it, in the 90s, Pantera probably really kind of started a lot of the more brutal, that brutal
stuff.
Seems
like there was, had to be a point where all of a sudden it kind of kicked off. And it wasn't, like with Iron Maiden, it was kind of... Their shit's always been kind of like historical.
Yeah, historical.
And sort of anthemic.
Epic.
Yeah, kind of epic, telling big stories. It wasn't necessarily about, here's local politics and what I think, like Megadeth, you know. Megadeth's always been real political. Same even with Metallica to some extent. And certainly Testament with Greenhouse Effect and shit like that. So a lot
They were big Al Gore fans.
Oh, really? I was going to say, the fuck? But you know what I mean? So I can see that being a sort of progression.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like I said, I think the funny thing is there's only so far you can go. The pendulum can only swing so far, and it's got to swing back.
Yeah, exactly. But as some of the bands we've talked to, if you listen, say Pantera, for example, and you know what a great song to play right now with what we've been through? Mm-hmm. How about a little bit of fucking Hostile? Nice. It is fucking Hostile.
Indeed. 1, 2, 3, 4!
So if you think about Pantera, what I was saying here, they could mix the brutal. A lot of their stuff did get brutal, you know, before they broke up and stuff. But they still had some melody, and I think that came from Dimebag really pushing that. Maybe Vinny as well.
Right.
But now it's kind of weird. You see Insomo and Rex Brown, both more of a dingy, stoner rock type vibe,
mm-hmm.
where they got away from some of the more aggressive stuff.
Sure.
So you kind of wonder what direction even Pantera, I mean, I don't want to take it into a whole Pantera thing, but kind of interesting to see how that thing would have evolved. I mean, because if you think about Damage Plan that came out after Pantera,
right,
they had gotten more more melodic.
Right, and that's the thing. There's always been, despite the heavy and the angry and the aggressive, there's still always been the melodic dudes who just said, no, we don't need to do that. Even Symphony X. Their shit can be kind of aggressive.
Yeah.
But it's never about angry shit that I can think of, right? It's usually, again, about epic stuff. Kind of like Iron Maiden, you know?
Right.
They do shit about Greek gods and shit like mm-hmm. that. And Dante's Inferno or whatever. They do kind of that kind of shit, which I think is really cool. And, you know, me, I'm not always big on the lyrics. They don't right. really matter that much to me. But, I don't know. I guess I was trying to tie it to horror movies and if you felt like they had been connected. Because obviously there's always been the connection. We've talked about that on all our episodes.
But there was a big connection in the 80s.
Right.
And then, actually, I think it cut into the 90s a little bit. I guess metal and horror is still kind of...
Yeah, we
kind of been hand in hand.
You know,
yeah, that was awesome.
Exactly. So it was a classic sort of mix-up. Maybe more of an homage to
mm-hmm.
back, like what was it, Black Thorns or what was the one?
Black Roses.
Black Roses, that one. Maybe kind of an homage to those kind of movies and of course... Trick or Treat.
Yeah, classic.
So, I don't know. Maybe everything's fine. What do I
mean? Yeah, we're not killing people. Right?
Oh,
I
mean, that's different. Let's see. Big mom, blah, blah. Oh, it's like, where did they get pitchforks? Oh, fuck. Oh, shit, I think it's John.
Should we let him in, or?
Shit, maybe we should check on him. Maybe he's all right.
All right, so while we play the song, I'll go take a look for John, and I'll be right back.
All right, how about a little, you know what? A little Whitechapel, The Saw is the Law.
This is our way of life. And we sleep away our misery. Our blood soaked sheets. We lift our arms to infect the wow. And I teach you all to this dissolving.
I was beating on the door. What were you doing in here? Did you go jerk off or something?
Me?
Yeah.
I've never jerked off. What are you talking about?
No, I know. I peeked out and I kind of lost my footing. Was able to get in before anybody saw me. So, a little scary. Thank you. I see John out there. I saw a group of people like running.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one dude off in the distance. I don't think that was John though.
Okay, good.
He's probably leading that pack, I would think.
Maybe so. I thought I heard his voice. Maybe it wasn't. Do you think he wanted to throw his voice? He's trying to fuck with us?
Maybe. Did he seem disgruntled yesterday?
A little bit. Looked like he was planning some shit. He had like an Excel spreadsheet up. He kept hiding from me every time I came in the room. Like he was planning something.
I mean, he wouldn't do anything to us, would he?
I hope not.
I wouldn't think of it.
As long as he doesn't try to cash those checks. I
mean, yeah, no shit.
Then he might find some shit out.
So anyway, enough about John. You know, I'm not going to worry about him.
If he shows up again, we'll let him.
Well, I mean, what if he's got a vendetta? I mean, it's legal tonight.
Tell you what, you know, maybe you're right. Is there a way we could crack the... You know what? Next time he comes, if he's knocking on the door, we'll call him real quick. See what he answers. Hear his fucking phone ringing outside the door. He's like, I know it's you, John.
No.
And he'll be like, it's not me.
Behind no shit. What's his ringtone now? It's
fucking guess.
I think it was a ram or something.
Is that what it was? It probably was.
Wake me up before we go. That's what I heard the other day.
It's like his alarm.
He's like, what's that? Like, he goes, hey, I don't know how that got on.
I don't, it's default ringtone on my phone.
He said, they all come with it now.
I'm exactly.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
I bet.
A 30-year-old fucking pop song.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. This is a damn fine beer, dude.
Isn't it? You know, I actually had this thing for a while. And
I noticed you got to make your way up to Brash quite a bit.
I do what I can.
I'm trying to support local businesses.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing.
How's that, then?
No, shit. I like that. Hey, I'm going to tell that to wifey. No, so, I hadn't been there in a little while, though. But I bought this probably about a month ago. Still good.
Yeah, so it's pretty damn good.
Well, didn't Alan tell us from Brash? He told us that the stouts would last maybe 4 to 6 weeks, roughly.
Oh, okay. That sounds about right. Good.
I'm thinking that's what he told me. But the lighter beers, you get about a week in a growler.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. You know, they make some of those growlers now that are like pressurized. Almost like a little keg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's got literally like a little dial inside so you can see like the pressure inside and shit.
Oh,
so
really?
Yeah, and even has a built-in tap so you can just pour that out of the growler.
Hell yeah.
It's like, fuck, dude, I'm going to invest in a fucking sweet growler.
Oh, fuck yeah, that'd be badass, man.
Yeah.
Especially with some of the good beers brewing around here.
Anyway, and the cool places that are like set up just for growlers.
So. Right. Well, like Jugs.
Right, exactly. Like, how do you not like a place called Jugs?
No shit. I remember when I was fucking with YBS. I was just waiting for her to say, we're not going to a titty bar.
And I was like, I got to go to Jugs again, I'm sorry.
He's like, what? What you talking about? What?
I can't not go to Jugs.
Have you ever been into, I mean, just talking Halloween, and shit that could go wrong, because there's some really good movies on this, a few of them. One of them comes to mind, The Houses That October Built. Or have you ever been like a haunted house kind of guy?
No, I think I went once a long time ago, maybe 30 years ago, I was still in college, and
mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I knew intellectually, it's like, I get it, the whole idea was scary, but at the same time, it's like, the whole thing is they're like, whoa, to like, I'm going to hurt you, right, or attack you, and it's like, you can't attack me, that's assault, I'll sue you, so, I know you can't touch me, you're not going to risk a lawsuit, so what am I really scared of? I mean, it just wasn't intimidating.
Right, right.
I mean, I knew they were going to surprise, but I'm like, when you know that that's what they're going to do, it's like, well, it kind of takes all the shock out of it. So,
exactly.
I wasn't really impressed with it. I don't know how you could really do one that really scared people. Unless you did some cool shit like optical illusions and shit. Like, imagine a room where you're walking down what looks like a dark hallway, like in a Saw type situation or something. And in the floor, they put LCD screens.
Oh, that'd be cheap.
Like, high-definition screens. So that you could make it look like the floor drops away.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that'd be cool. That would be scary, especially if you see shit down there. But because it's a floor, I mean, even if somebody gets scared and they fall, no one's going to get hurt.
Right.
Because that's really the key, I think, to these haunted houses. If you're going to do a good haunted house, you want to sort of feel like I could be in peril, but realistically, it's almost impossible for me to get hurt, so that there's no lawsuits and everybody has fun.
Right.
That's really the problem, you know? The conundrum is, how do we scare the shit out of you when you know that no one's really allowed to touch you or hurt you?
Right.
So if you can create that illusion, then I think that could be a more effective haunted house.
I like that. That's a great
idea.
But
I think that would be cool. Just do a lot of weird illusional shit. Or do stuff where, like, because I would do something where it's expensive, because I would use, like, computer shit. Because you could do a thing where, like, you know, now they can do things like they can read your face and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So what if you had, like, a mirror, but it's really a computer screen with a camera on you, and they could take it and using the computer graphics sort of distort your face so it looks like melting or something.
That would be cool.
Freaky.
Yeah.
So something like that would be cool. The traditional guy jumps out with a chainsaw that doesn't have the fucking chain on it, and he goes, "Arr!" I'm like, I'm not scared of you. You're not going to hurt me.
But, you know, if you could incorporate that with metal music. I mean, some brutal metal music.
Metal haunted house?
That would be fucking
That's
awesome.
That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. I mean, you walk in, fucking Merciful Fate's playing.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Just
or,
to start you off.
Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
Right, and maybe do a lot of the sort of stuff like you see in, what is it, the Oculus?
Yeah.
Those weird kind of, where it's just kind of very atmospheric and freaky. Or The Nun, right, where like you look in a mirror and it looks like you're in a mirror, but then you see behind you the nun, and then you look behind you and she's not there. It's in the screen.
That'd
but
be
it's
bad.
Just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That kind of shit. I think that could be cool. I like that, because that way, again, you're not really going to get hurt, but it's still fucking freaky. Then with the music to really tie to it. And if you could get it like a celebrity fucking hookup, like King Diamond fucking shows up, that would be shit. I mean, he's in Texas, right?
Yeah.
So do something like the Dallas area. Yeah, do a Dallas haunted house. Well, fucking King Diamond. Or why doesn't somebody like, because remember there was the guy, I think his name was Richard Garriott, I think was his name. He was like a computer nerd type dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he made cool computer role-playing games. And the story was, I think he lived in Austin, and he had this big haunted house, or a big house, but he fitted it out with like false walls and all this cool shit because he was a nerd. So he did all this really cool dungeon shit in this house. So why couldn't the local rich badass dude, like, I don't know what rich King Diamond really is, but it was cool to build a spooky house, and every Halloween let people come to his house, like pick like 12 people, like a lottery.
Yeah.
You get to come to King Diamond's house for the night. You're there for dinner, but then all day it's like a murder mystery or something.
Oh, dude, he could make bank on that.
No shit, wouldn't that be cool as fuck?
Yeah.
And he'd become famous. Like, oh, it's Halloween, it's time for the big King Diamond haunted house, you know, thing.
Yeah, especially if you charge fans $500 a piece to do that or more. Shit.
Right, and because it's $500, I mean, he's making bank, but also too, you can go top notch with it, dude.
Oh yeah,
hire professional fucking actors and shit, makeup artists. Really go, because you're only doing it once a year, so it's a one-time expense. You got all year to prepare for it. Really get that money going. I think that'd be badass.
Well, I think so too.
I think that's one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other people who could do it. Who else is that kind of a guy? I don't think Danzig could pull it off, because he's just too full of himself.
What about, like, he's in England, Danny Filth?
There you go. I was going to say, people like that, or even your boy Lordy.
Lordy, yeah. Lordy, he's a huge horror movie fan.
He would do the shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he's wearing, like, Finland or something?
Finland, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I don't know how, you know, well he has money, but, you know, all you need is just an old house. Just fix it up. That's the cool thing, because you only do it once a year. You got the whole rest of the year to get it ready. You can take your time with it. Spend a little money on it, and then once that bitch is up and running, I think you could make bank on it, dude.
Oh, dude, totally. And, I mean, it would be like the ultimate fan experience, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, that'd be cool as shit.
Oh, dude, I would consider, I mean, I won't do these meet and greets, but I would consider something unique like that.
That's another thing, dude. Yeah, tie it in with a meet and greet. Do like every Halloween, he does a special Halloween concert.
Right.
And part of it is the meet and greet, but the meet and greet's like at his house or at some other place, you know, that's like a haunted house.
Oh, dude, that would be badass.
This shit, dude.
I like it.
Darling, light of my life, I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in.
The Right to Rock.
I'm thinking that's cool. What you need is you just need an old big house, and then you make like the one half of the house be big enough to hold, like imagine a place about as big as House of Blues. Maybe, yeah. Maybe smaller, but enough to fit, like, say, I don't know, 500 people. And then every year you throw a badass concert. It's like $5 to get in. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. But because you have 500 fucking people, that's like $2,500? Mm-hmm. Maybe even...
Yeah, well, you may want to finish short. Well, hold on. So if you got five people, it's 2,500. Say you do 10... Get out a calculator. Five.
All right, let's make it...
7,500.
Let's make it $10. $10 to get in, you got 500 people, that's $5,000 in one shot.
But wouldn't you think, you might want, I mean, if it includes dinner and a concert.
Oh, then yeah, you can try
the ultimate fan experience, you could probably, I wouldn't say $1,000, but I think you could get pretty close to that.
I think the trick is, if you wanted to do something cool with it, where you did like a murder mystery, I mean, and maybe that's corny, I don't know, this thing's cool. Because you can't really do a thing. The thing is, you got to have it small enough that people can participate. Because 500 people trying to solve a mystery or whatever, right, it's too many people. But, you know, a dozen people in the room, and then you can really have some fun. Kind of like those escape rooms.
Yeah.
Where, like, you have to figure out a way to get out. Something like that. It's an escape mansion. And it's like, holy fuck, King Diamond was here. He got murdered. We're trapped in the house with a demon. We have to figure out how to get out of the house.
I like it.
I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, you could really play this up, man.
Oh, I think so, too.
And I think you can do it for a lot less money than you think. You know, you don't need to do... You're not going to go crazy, you know, batshit crazy with the effects and stuff. Just effective enough to get the job done.
But if you wanted to do it more, you know what you could do? Is you could probably do, like, a concert.
Yep.
And a dinner. And then for an extra $500, you get to stay the night in the haunted house along with Mr. Diamond or whomever.
Or you. Yeah. And that's the thing. If it picked up, I mean, I bet a dude like King Diamond knows other kind of dudes like King Diamond. So maybe he knows Loiter, maybe he knows Danny Filth or whatever. And you could do a thing where it's like, well, next year, Danny, do you want to do one where you're the host and it's at my house?
I tell you what, let's play some Lordy real quick.
All right, sure.
How about hunting season? Yeah, that was, so there's a little Lordy for you. And yeah, I think, I mean, just expand. We could come up with the ultimate haunted experience on Halloween. Guess who else would be good?
What?
Right, go ahead. You had a thought.
I was going to say, let me say this right now. It's on the podcast, so it's set in stone.
Yeah.
Well, it's already Friday. It's already too late.
Well, next year.
Well, no, no. If no one wins the lottery this Friday, mm-hmm. you know, then because or the next time it's that big,
yeah,
$1 billion around there. If I win it, this is what I'm saying. I promise I'll put this plan into action.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Seriously.
You gonna pay off all my debts?
You motherfuckers can hold it.
If you win $1 billion.
I mean, if we were really good friends. No. Seriously, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's just badass. Fuck it. I'd throw a couple of million at this if I had fucking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. If you had plenty of breath.
Just for the fuck of it, dude. Just to make it happen. It's like, you start getting tougher.
You could get a different host every year.
That's what I'm saying. I bet you, if you could show this, I mean, seriously thinking of this like a business plan.
Yeah.
If you could show, this is my deal. You can start shopping around to some of these guys, and I bet you people, like Danny Filth or Lordy or King Diamond would be like, I'm down to fucking do that.
Yeah.
And knowing people like King Diamond or Lordy, they'd be like, I want to co-write the story.
Yeah.
Like, I got an idea for how we can write this out. They'd fucking be involved in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They'd be into it.
Are we recording?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you think about King Diamond, too, if you think about Abigail, or you think about them, I would love to go through a them.
We'll make it happen. Oh, that'd be the shit, dude.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I love that. See, it seems like the idea is right there waiting to happen.
Right.
Next time, if we interview them again, any of those people, what do we ask them that question? Say, have you ever considered doing that?
Yeah.
Even if it's off the record, just because I'm curious. I'm like, I can't believe y'all haven't thought of this. Mostly because y'all own the property. It's your It's your copyright. So... That doesn't cost any money. It's a ready-made solution. The story's written, in other words. And it's got a built-in fan base. There are fucking thousands, if not tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people that are fans of those fucking albums.
Yeah.
That would fall right fucking into it.
Yeah.
I mean, even Iron Maiden, Murders of the Rue Morgue or whatever.
Yeah. That'd be fucking awesome.
All shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of really cool shit. And my point being, you're tying heavy metal to horror.
Right.
In a haunted house scenario. Because my thing is, the haunted house idea is kind of played out.
Right.
Someone needs to refresh it somehow.
And that would be a way to refresh it.
I definitely think that's the way to
do it. Well, we'll play a King Diamond song.
For sure.
Off the Them record, how about Welcome Home?
There's a spider going.
No shit. Well, you know, another guy I thought of that could really do it and probably got the bread is probably Rob Zombie.
Oh, well, fuck yeah.
Yeah, the movie.
I mean, that's his whole deal anyway.
Yeah.
The guy's a living horror movie anyway.
I mean, if you think of the rockers that profess their love for horror, mm-hmm. I mean, you got Rob Zombie, you got Lordy, you've got larger name acts. Kirk Hammett's a huge horror movie guy.
I think he'd love to do that shit.
Yeah.
He'd probably even write original music for it. That's how much he fucking loves that.
Yeah, but would we want it?
No, I think just, you know what I mean, just to get him involved.
Sure.
I think it'd be cool. Just think of the bragging rights, you know? We have our own tailor-made fucking Metallica-flavored haunted house.
Yeah.
soundtrack by Kirk Hammett or whatever, something. I mean, he might even get involved. My point is, it's like, this is fucking waiting to happen, dude.
Oh, dude, and just imagine, you could have, like, a little bar. It could be all Halloween-style type ales or beers.
Fuck yeah, we have
stouts.
Mm-hmm. Have all the fucking punkachinos and shit.
Yeah.
All the pumpkin beers.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's fucking awesome. Look how clever we are.
Look at us.
Why aren't we rich?
I don't know.
It's a fucking trap.
I wish I knew that. Answer that question, Ron.
If I knew the answer, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Exactly.
We're on live with Genghis and Ragman, and we've got a new guy, Tim Brown, from a band that's really kicking my ass called Striker. We're going to talk to Tim here for a minute, but we are holed up in this warehouse, and we're hearing all sorts of weird shit going on outside. So we're going to channel in Tim here and see what's going on in Edmonton and how they're purging. Then we'll jump into a little interview and kind of talk some metal until either the barricades start breaking down or something else. So, Tim, welcome to the Genghis and Ragman Show, man. How's your first purge going, man?
It's going great. The we're up in Alberta, Canada, so there's a little bit of snow. But other than that, you know, it's a nice purgy day.
Well, have you been able to, like, knock off, like, some American Idol-type folks or some Canadian pop stars? We've actually taken care of Justin Bieber and Katy Perry so far. We're looking to do a little more damage tonight, but we've run into a little bit of a few issues as we've kind of peered out and ventured out. Have you purged yet, or are you looking to purge? And how do you feel after the purge?
I'm on the hunt for, Nickelback and, some other country stars. So going good. It's always nice to have a little bit of purging going on.
Are you going to sing to Chad Kroeger real quick before you, like, chop his head off?
Yeah, I'm going to sing him some Nickelback so he knows how it feels.
Tim, welcome to the Genghis Ragman Show. Like I said, I feel bad. I just really discovered you guys, and you guys have kicked my ass. You got a really good, powerful sound. You got a good, nice mix of kind of some thrash, along with, like, some heavier 80s type stuff. For the fans that aren't really familiar with you guys yet, how would you best describe your sound?
We've been compared to Iron Maiden fairly often. We're a very melodic band, clean singing, lots of harmonized vocals, extreme guitar shred all over the place. Most songs have several solos, Can't contain the shred, just one guitar solo. It's usually high energy, high fun, lots of fun music. I think that's a pretty good all-around description. We like to say that we're party instigators. If you're not having fun listening to our music, then we're not doing our job right, whether that's on record or live. So, it's like saw getting a beer in a hurricane.
Well, I got to say, when listening to your record, Play to Win, I've really gotten into it. And you remind me of some bands that are actually the band you really remind me of kind of first off is a heavier Skid Row, like that Slave to the Grind area. And then there's some newer bands like Taking Dawn. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, or Diamond Lane, that have kind of bring back that 80s sound, but with more of an aggression. And I, you're my favorite new band. And I was telling my daughter this morning, I said, man, these guys would kick so much ass live. And then I found out I missed you a month ago. So that really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment of kind of where I'm getting a feeling for your sound?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned Skid Row. And, I mean, that's definitely one of our big influences on our second album, Armed to the Teeth. We went down and recorded that with Michael Wagner, who was the producer for all the classic Skid Row. And, I mean, obviously, you know, Skid Row was one of the reasons we contacted Michael Wagner in the first place. So we definitely have a little bit of that Skid Row influence in us, for sure. And, I mean, we have a lot of... you know, those classic 80s, you know, hair metal bands. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Obviously, hair metal's a contentious genre. I mean, there's also a lot of crap in there. I mean, bands like Poison, for example. But, you know, there's some good stuff hidden in with the hair metal. Not all of it was, you know, overproduced garbage. So there's some good stuff. You just got to look for it, I think.
And I think also, too, you've kind of you've worked with other guys like Frederick Nordstrom, who's known for more kind of heavy sort of melodeath bands up in Scandinavia. So you've got a heavier sound also, I guess, you're trying to cultivate in addition to that 80s sound. It's not just pure 80s, 90s sound, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, I mean, we tour a lot. So we're stuck in a van or a bus or on a plane way too much. And so, I mean, when you're just stuck sitting there, you know, one of the best ways to pass the time is just listen to music. So we listen to all kinds of music. I mean, just listening to one genre would get boring. So we go through a ton of music, and we like to figure out or, you know, try to understand different types of music and new genres that maybe we don't listen to. And, you know, we like to listen to it and think, what is the reason that other people are listening to this type of music? Or why is this song? What's the reason that people are listening to it? There must be some redeeming factor about basically every kind of music. And, you know, when if we can figure that out, then we can apply it to our own music. And so there's a lot of different influences coming in on, especially our newer stuff, kind of coming in. We all kind of merge them together and smush it and turn it into a Striker.
Well, I had a question, not knowing your earlier catalog, has the band changed its sound from the early beginnings? Because I've just doing a little research, I've seen a lot of comparisons for thrash, and there is some really fast, aggressive stuff. But was the earlier stuff maybe a bit more aggressive or thrashier, and now it's more melodic? Or is it? Have you kind of maintained the sound throughout your career?
I think when we started, we were very much, you know, like one of those patch jacket vest type guys, band where it's, you know, explicitly true metal. So that kind of stuff. And then as we've been getting older, I mean, writing the same song over and over kind of gets boring, so you branch out from the Man of War only type stuff, and then you know, you start writing other kinds of music, maybe throwing in the keyboard here or there, you know, maybe trying some clean guitar, even though it's heresy, you know, stuff like that. So that's sort of what we've been trying to do, throwing in different influences, you know, maybe throwing in some like hardcore or some like heavy thrash. So, yeah, it's, we've evolved, I would say.
Well,
your songwriting process? How does that come about? Is different members all bring in different sort of influences, or how do y'all write a song together?
Yeah, what we usually do is everyone kind of comes up with their own stuff. And then what we do before we write an album is we kind of have this listening party where everybody brings every idea that they want to share. And we listen to everything, whether it's just a guitar riff or maybe it's a fully finished song with vocals and guitar solos. And like it's a full demo, fully produced. We listen to everything, and then we kind of rank what are the sort of top songs, you might say, and then we focus on those, and we say, okay, let's work on these songs for maybe the next month or so, and then after that period of time's up, we do the same process and say, okay, what songs that we've been working on should end up on an album, and then we look at those songs, we say, okay, yeah, these ones make the cut, and then we start working on an album with those songs. And that's kind of how we do it, and everyone's free to make suggestions or bring their ideas forward. With that being said, most of the songs are written by Dan, our vocalist, and I also write some of the songs as well.
Well, it sounds pretty organic. So once you come up with these ideas, I guess you, of course, got to work them out, but are you all going into a studio, or is everybody still kind of living in the same place at this point, or is there file sharing going on? Or
yeah, we all live in Edmonton, so it's fairly easy for us to get together. And what we've actually been doing for the last three albums is they're all entirely self-produced. So we do all the producing, we do all of our own recording, our own engineering, we record everything at home, at our home studio, so we basically do it all, and then we just send it out to get mixed.
I was going to comment, the production is really, really strong. It's kind of just in your face, you know, especially with the first track on the record, Heart of Lies. Man, it just kicks you right in the fucking teeth, and it doesn't stop. it's a killer way to start the record, man.
Awesome, thank you.
Another track I want to bring up, and it's a video that you guys have done, is for Head First. I really dig that track. It's kind of that mid-tempo, and that's where I kind of get some of that, a little bit of skid row with those diminished harmonics. It's got a really good, powerful chorus. Do you have a cool story about how that song came together?
Not really a cool story. Like I said, we kind of just do our process, and then we started working on all the tunes. That was one of the songs that we were working on. I think that's a song that Dan had written, our vocalist, and I think that was one of the first songs that he had made a demo for. It was kind of older. Yeah, that was a great song. I mean, that was one of the ones that right off the bat we knew that was going to be on the album from even the first listen. And we just started working on it, and it's kind of interesting how songs change going from the demo to the finished product. And I mean, I had enjoyed that song when we had started working on it as a demo, but when we got to the finished product, I was like, wow, I think, you know, that might be my favorite song on the album. It was it stood out to me as just a really great song, so it's a good one.
How far in the process do you guys get before you may make a decision? Like, in other words, do you get as far as recording a song, try to work on it before, and say maybe it doesn't start working out, you're like, we just can't make this thing be what we sort of envisioned, and you have to scrap it and say, let's go with a different song? Or do you know exactly, these are the 10 songs we're going to bring to an album, let's work on these? Or is it like some bands will do, you know, they'll record 20 songs maybe and say, let's pick the best of those? How does your process work on that?
Yeah, so like I said, we have sort of, so for this album, I think we had something like 35 ideas that we started with, and we did our little first round, and I think we cut that down to about 15 songs, and we worked on those for about a month, and then after that, we cut that down to 10 songs, and those are the 10 songs that ended up on the album. Some songs go through more changes than others. Some songs are just straight, you know, you listen to the first demo and you're like, yeah, this is a good one. And it basically just kind of, for the most part, ends up the same way that it was on a demo. I mean, there might be some slight changes, but for the most part, it ends up on there. I mean, this is our sixth album, so we're getting pretty good at realizing when we've written a decent song or not, or at least I hope. And absolutely. Some songs go through some crazy changes, and other songs don't. I mean, it didn't happen on this album, but on our previous album, we had a few instances where we have like two songs, and we're like, these two songs on their own just aren't quite strong enough, and then we would just sort of mash them up and turn it into one super song. So we've had instances of, you know, sometimes when things aren't working, and then we just get the scissors out and start chopping that song.
Well, I want to bring up another song on the record that I'm really digging, and don't bust my balls, it's kind of more of a ballady type thing, but Standing Alone, that is a really cool track, and my daughter was actually started singing with it in the car this morning.
So many times I've tried, it's never been easy. That's how the story goes, and
the part that got me, and I don't know if you know what the goosebump test, my daughter looked at me like I was freaking nuts, but at the very end of the song, you guys are kind of fading out, and Dan does his vocal thing, and you do this, kind of this cool little riff guitar thing, and then, dude, all the hair on the end of my arm started standing up. I was like, this is a freaking cool song. I had to, like, rewind it, like, four or five times. She's like, Dad, enough. It's killer, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was a song that we were sort of, we had always liked and enjoyed slower songs, more ballady type songs. On this album in particular, we wanted to kind of, sometimes it can be a little scary or nerve-wracking as an artist releasing material in sort of a new direction that you haven't done before, in terms of ballads or slower songs, things like that. And one big thing that we wanted to do on this album was try those things, because we had looked at all of our favorite albums, all of our favorite songs, and we realized that the one thing that we never really experimented with was ballads, slower songs, clean guitar, things like that. You know, if you look at all of our favorite bands, like Metallica, Skid Row, Scorpions, they all have some kind of ballad or soft songs, and those songs are usually some of their biggest songs, right? So you can't deny the power of these kind of songs, and we were just like, well, we need to experiment more with this type of song. And so for this album, that was sort of one of the things we wanted to try out. And it's glad to hear that it's making an impact on listeners.
So in the touring, if you don't mind me jumping to the touring real quick for a sec, do you have certain areas? Because you guys have been all over the place. You've been to Europe. You've been, obviously, to America. There's certain places, you know, the audiences, there's a certain kind of feel to the audiences. Like a European audience at Wacken is going to be a lot different than American audiences and even, you know, South American audiences. Do you find any of those areas more receptive to some of those, you know, softer songs or the heavier songs?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting. I think it's not... obviously, there are some differences in how the crowd sort of react to songs, but we found that even within our set, I think people react a lot differently to different songs. So, for example, we have a song called Too Late, which is a single from our first independent album called Stand in the Fire, which came out in 2016, I think it was. Yeah, two years ago, I guess it was. And that song is like a softer, slower song. And we had always heard people say, oh, I love that song. You know, oh, play that song. That's my favorite song on your album, whatever. And then whenever we would play it, people would like stop thrashing around and they just kind of stand there. And we're like, oh, people would hate this song. You know, it's not, you know, there's no circle pit. Because that's what we had always been used to, right? I mean, we kind of grew up playing these thrashier, speedy songs. And a lot of the bands, especially where we're from, are like black metal bands, death metal bands, whatever. And so there's always this, oh, if they're not, you know, moshing, circle pit, and killing each other, they're not having a good time. Which isn't true. I mean, I think it's just that as you sort of change what kind of music you're doing, people have different reactions to it. I mean, yeah, some songs elicit a circle pit, some songs are more like a stand there and just kind of sing along and enjoy the music kind of song. So it's that was definitely something that we had to learn to get used to.
Well, as far as touring goes, I know you have the European tours coming up, and then you know, the record's being released. What are your plans? Are you guys just going to tour this thing hard for the rest of the year? Going into next year, or what are your plans coming up?
Yeah, so next week, actually, we fly to Europe with fellow Canadian Skullfist for a co-headlining tour, and we're really looking forward to that tour. It's our first headlining opportunity in Europe for a full tour since 2013, actually. We've always been doing, like, support slots or festival tours, stuff like that. So this will be a really fun tour for us. We get to be the boss. Yeah, that tour ends basically at the beginning of December. So there's not a lot of time left. And it's snowy and wintry. It's Christmas. So we won't be on tour until 2019. But we're already booking our tours for 2019. We'll be back in North America. We'll be back to Europe. And we're trying to break into places like South America and Asia. So we're going to be on the road a lot. Ultimate road dog, that's our motto. So yeah, we'll definitely be back. I mean, we always do really great in Texas, and the Texas shows are great. We love Texas barbecue. Hell yeah. So we'll definitely be back down there.
Next time you're here, Genghis and I will be up front and center. And I see you guys drink a little bit of beer. That's part of our show is craft beer. So maybe we can knock down a couple craft beers with you guys.
That sounds amazing.
Well, Tim, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there?
Yeah, if you're interested in Stryker, check us out. Our website's the best place to find everything Stryker-related, stryker-metal.com. You can find websites, ticket links, shows, music videos, download links, you name it, it's on there. And yeah, thanks for the support for everybody who's been supporting us as an independent band. It's been huge for us. Couldn't do it without you.
Well, Tim, I know it's time for you to start purging, and we hear some Taylor Swift music in the background, so I don't know if she's around or what's going on, but I think we better go check this out. And I'm sure you have some Nickelback things to take care of as well. But Tim, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therighttorock.com, and we want to tell all the fans out there, check out this badass band, Stryker, and their new record, Play to Win, out on Record Breaking Records. Tim, good luck with the tour. We hope to catch you in Texas, and good luck purging tonight, man.
Hell yeah.
Seem like it's dying down at all out there?
The rain, I think, is slowing down.
That's good. Although it just means it'll be easier for them to be running around lopping heads on it. Okay. I'll get the umbrella.
Okay. This song is getting less.
Why don't we play the song? At the gates, they shall burn.
Everybody should burn.
So now, guys, we decided to take it outside, kind of see what's going on.
Oh, shit. It's not too bad. I don't see a lot of people. Okay, I see a guy. Wow, that dude's just fucking sawing that motherfucker up. Holy shit. All right, well, we'll just stay away from him.
He just gave us the high sign.
I know, like, it's all good. How you doing? And he's like, I know you. It's cool.
No shit.
Man, the weather's a little shitty, but I guess that's better. There's less people running around lopping the fuck out of people. Holy fuck.
Oh, shit.
That thing almost hit me. Motherfucker.
Fucking barrel or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? There's a big fire over there in the corner. I think that's illegal. You kill people.
I'm pretty sure that's
illegal. The fires are not good.
I think the purge probably negates that.
I guess so. They kind of tell you not to loot.
Uh-huh.
What the hell is that?
Just keep it to killing.
Shit.
Like, please, be nice. Just kill people. Don't fuck up property. That costs money.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is that dude eating that dude?
Fucking A. Takes all kinds, doesn't it?
Cannibalism tonight.
Yeah, shit. Well, he looks foreign, so it's probably all right.
Yeah, it's probably all right.
We don't need him.
Oh, it's legal in that country.
Oh, shit. Fucking hell.
Oh, holy fuck, dude. Damn, that guy was going, what, like 80 miles an hour in a fucking residential area? What the fuck? Is it John?
Oh, fuck, man. He's running after us.
Shit.
With that mob. Come on.
Get the fuck out of here.
What the fuck's he doing?
I don't know.
I told you. I knew it was a fucking setup. Cocksucker.
Motherfucker.
He's fucking fired this time.
Yeah. He fucking pointed at us and said, over there, this motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
He's after us. Is that Colin with him?
Yeah.
That motherfucker.
I'm
going to have a talk with this motherfucker.
Shit. Porcos, we're unfortunately under contract. So we were under contract. We'd quit.
Then he's allowed to kill us.
No shit.
And we have to pay him for it.
Hey, we're his money makers.
Oh, shit. Wait. Oh, duck behind here. Just wait till they run by.
They're fucking blind. Thank God.
Stupid motherfucker. That's a dog, you dumbass. The guy's fucking going after a dog.
Oh, my God, dude. Look off in the distance. Is that fucking Taylor Swift?
I think it is. I can't pass up a chance like this. Give me my machete out of the back.
There you go.
All right, let's go. Let's get this bitch.
Here we go. Oh, dude, she got a whole fucking mob with her.
And the bitch is fucking singing through the whole fucking time.
Shit.
Fucking silly. I think if I sneak up, just act like you're part of the crowd. Yeah, you're the
Yay.
Best. Yay, Taylor. I'm gonna fucking cut this bitch out.
Shit.
All right, let's fucking tell you what. Let's go around the back here.
Is that some trouble?
I think it is.
She's about to get some control from us.
Yeah,
come
she's
on.
In control. Oh shit! I think she sees us. Yeah, you're the best, Taylor.
Oh, love you.
Shit, she ain't buying it. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Shit.
That bitch is fucking badass. Get up! Get the
Damn
fuck
it.
Up!
Oh, my fucking knee, dude.
Here, let me give you a hand. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Hey, Taylor. Hey, you're not really gonna kill us, are you?
No. You would want to do that.
We were gonna take out some of those people for you.
Yes.
That's. Okay.
Hey, we've killed some of your friends just to get you more popular and more money.
Yeah.
It's all about you.
Not the face, not the face! Oh shit!
What was that?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is that?
Somebody just ran there for the fuck over.
Sorry, guys.
Fucking
is that one of your
John.
Friends?
You don't know who the fuck that was?
Yeah. What the hell are you running after us for? You
silly son of a bitch. Let's get off the street.
Shit.
Fucking hit.
What the fuck? Where does he go?
Fucking hold ass. What if he's trying to hit us?
What I suspect he might have been. Let's just get back in the fucking house. We'll go out later. Fuck it.
Back to the warehouse.
They will say that I have shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding?
The right to rock.
Thank God nobody knows about this fucking half abandoned house.
Whose house is this?
I don't know. And you know, if you watch the original Purge movie, they were in like the security. Ethan Hawke had this. He was like this
like a little
guy.
Gated community type area.
Yeah, but he had his whole house
like
on
a
lockdown.
Compound. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
it makes sense if you know the shit's gonna go down. You're like, I'm protecting my shit.
I think this was so quickly thought of. Like, what the hell was?
Oh, it's clearly like a fucking like a gimmick idea. It's like,
yeah.
What if? And then it fucking they made it, and it's like. Let's run with that and made like two other fucking sequels. I think they made a TV series out of it.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous how popular that thing got.
Well, I tell you what, why don't we play a tune? I feel like some metal. How about you?
Fuck yeah.
How about some brand new Lizzie Borden?
Nice.
Always good to play a little, you know, Borden on Halloween. We need to talk to Lizzie.
That seems like, yeah, it seems like a perfect combination.
How about we go with The Scar Across My Heart?
Obviously.
Let's do it.
We are the love that never dies. We are the flame that burns to bright. We're gonna make it now. We are the love that never dies.
Dave Stogie's back.
Brewskis.
I don't know. I hope we didn't give away our location.
I fucking didn't.
So, how many people have we iced tonight?
I don't know. Like a dozen. Like an even. We like got a the baker's beeps. Dozen. Nice baker's dozen.
We got the Beeps. Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And John got Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that bitch got a fucking blood already. That's kind of. I mean, there was nothing to the bitch, right?
I kind of want to get rid of that guy, Sam Smith. I don't know. You?
I can sound that.
I can't.
Do you know where that motherfucker lives?
I don't know. Oh my god, do you hear that? Just faintly. Is that Wrecking Ball?
It must be fucking Molly.
Is Molly Air Force? They should be happy we're killing off their competition.
Yeah, I used to beat off to Hannah Montana. That's not. That doesn't get me anything. No,
she's of age now.
No, it's all right. It's all right after the fact to say something.
Oh, God. It's so loud. It's hurting my ears now.
I know, that's
dude,
how
they're just beating them.
I think that's how she's trying to kill people. Just the music alone will do it. Or cause people to kill themselves.
Oh, God. You hear that? Is that John again? You hear the car?
Taylor, you think he's going after?
Miley's going after John.
Sweet.
Oh, he killed Taylor.
He's unwittingly saving her life.
Yeah.
By being a decoy.
And he has no fucking idea.
That's the thing. Or like I said, unwittingly.
Yeah, no shit. Fucking moron. Wait.
Hold on, shit. Let me get to the window. I think I see something.
Okay. What do you see over there?
Come on.
Dude. What? Eddie? Let me look.
This is our chance to take that motherfucker off.
Why? That's another one.
Revenge for every time he's fucked up our show.
Exactly.
You think we should do it? I can't pass this up.
And I hear fucking Captain Nemo. Fucking Shanker. Is he playing that on a boombox with...
Shit. And he's telling people, he goes, I know this guy. I'm friends with him. Right before
yeah,
fucking
no watch shit.
It. It's like, holy fuck.
But he has no credit if it's a pop people after us.
Let's see if we can get his ass.
Yeah, let's do it.
I've got my machete. You got your baseball bat?
Hey, hold on. I'm going to go crack the door.
All
right. Let's see if he's... Should I wave or...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go
wave you over, like, to come over and get at him.
Yeah, Eddie. You can't get one.
You're so fucking lazy. We'll let him come over here.
Yeah,
fine. And then we'll whack the motherfucker.
Open the door. You distract him. Door crack. Oh, hey, Eddie. How you doing?
Nice. Oh, good night. Whaley, baby. Oh, look, it's his cell phone. What's this?
Is it
Michael Shanker? No shit.
What is Slash?
Is that a mask?
What the fuck is that?
It's a guy with an Eddie Trunk mask.
They make those.
No. Look, what the fuck does this phone say? Holy fuck, I think this is from Eddie Trunk.
What's it say?
He's texting this dude. He says, did you do it? Did you get those two motherfuckers with that shitty show?
That's Eddie.
That's obviously us,
that
too.
That cocksucker.
He's too lazy to even kill people himself.
He's too much of a pussy.
And he's too much of a badass, right? He's like, everyone's my fan. They'll
I don't have
fun.
Time for this.
This
yeah.
motherfucker. My friends will do it.
My millions of callers.
What a dick.
Oh, shit.
Like, how do you send him a fucking response?
Hey, let's both flip him off in the picture and send that off to him.
Now you're fucking talking. Let's do that.
Let's do it. Nice.
Nice. That's a good shot. Let me enhance it. I was going to put a filter on it.
Okay.
That's nice. All right. And let's see. Let me put a text.
Well, put thinking of you, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. You're next, motherfucker.
Yeah, I like that too.
See you next purge.
Yeah. Send.
Let's see how you like that.
Well... I guess we're...
Fuck, what do you think?
We made it through.
I think we should wrap this shit up, dude.
Yeah, I think we made through the purge.
I think we made it. Yeah, it looks like it's fucking about to be... The light's getting a little lighter outside.
Yeah, we don't typically do this, but kind of want to do it. I've got a good classic to signify kind of what we went through tonight.
I can do that.
How about a little blue murder? How about a little bit of riot?
Perfect.
Let's do it.
Down on Main Street tonight.
So anyway, guys, we're just consolidating our picks tonight. It's been a rough night. We're tired.
Fuck yeah.
We have been a rough. Making, go ahead.
It's been a rough year in part.
Yeah, you know. It really has. We've got to actually start planning on next year's purge.
Shit. I gotta find this motherfucker's house.
Yeah, we will. We will. Up in New Jersey. I guess we're going to Jersey next year.
No shit. Bon Jovi be out like mowing his lawn.
No shit. But I tell you what, to close it off, a pick of the show, kind of in our theme tonight, how about a little bit of Crematory, Till the Dawn. It's dawn right now. We made it till the dawn.
I like the fucking song, right?
Let's do it. Couldn't have said it better myself. We made it through a purge. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We survived. Before we sign off, mm-hmm. I want to play you one more thing.
Oh, yeah?
This is our Halloween song. This was kind of a different Halloween show. We did something different tonight. Mm-hmm. But there's a cool band. I actually work on getting an interview with them. They're called Ice Nine Kills. Guys are really cool with like horror movie type themes.
Nice.
I actually saw them on the Vans Warped Tour.
Oh, cool.
They're really good, man. Really good. Let's go with the American Nightmare, which kind of goes in theme tonight. So, our last song of the show, a little Ice Nine Kills. I'm going to give you two.
You can learn. David has probably never stopped to think what a wonderful thing sleep is. Dreams are normal, too. Going to bed at a regular time each night.
Rest your head, here's a lullaby, a melody for heavy eyes. Early to bed, early to die.
You've been listening to Gangsta Ragman Show. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to check out the artists you hear on the show wherever you can find them on your favorite online outlet or through iTunes, whatever you want. And by the way, while you're at iTunes, be sure to leave us a review and spread the word about the Gingus and Ragman Show over at therighttorock.com, where you can find CD, DVD, and Blu-ray reviews, as well as the occasional concert review, a piece of music news about your favorite bands in the heavy metal genre. And be sure especially to check out the website of our official third man here, Tracy G, who writes all our original music, including the Broken Man theme song that opens up the show. That's for you, brother. Well, that's it, and there it is. Until next time, this is your announcer, Joey Clams, telling you to drink good beer and keep those horns up.